Has the Lord been good to you this week? I think God's going to do some marvelous things today. And we're talking about embracing your true identity. We started that last week. You have a new identity. If you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're not the same person you used to be. Okay? How many of you remember who you used to be? When you met Christ, He gave you a brand new identity. And we talked about last week, the reason you have a new identity, one reason, and by the way, her name is Wendy. So when you have a new identity, it's because the Lord has given you a new heart. Remember last week? You have a new heart. There's something that's transformed within you. It's not like you're working on the outside to make the inside better. Something has happened on the inside, and because something has happened on the inside, now your outside is becoming more like Christ. God has given you a new heart. Go ahead and flip that, if you would. That should be a power slide there. So I want to know, what are you wearing? That's the topic of the message today. What are you wearing? Because we're going to be talking about something else that the Lord has given us. He's given us a new heart. We learned last week He's given us a new name, right? He's also given you a new family. But did you know He gave you a new wardrobe? If you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a new wardrobe. That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, you can't buy this at Macy's. You can't buy this at TJ Maxx or Fred Meyer or the House of Bijan. So the House of Bijan is the most expensive men's warehouse in the world. A tie can cost as much as $1,000. A suit will run you $25,000. I've never been there. And you have to have an appointment to go peruse the clothes. You can't just walk in. You have to have an appointment to get there. Now, I want to show you some dresses that I found online. You may be surprised. This dress costs nearly $3,000. Beautiful dress. Now, this suit... $5. ...costs nearly $3,000. Here's a beautiful skirt. And look at what it costs. $9,725. Now, I didn't go online to purchase any of this. But here's the deal. The only place you can get your heavenly wardrobe is in heaven. That's the only place. And the purchase price, you don't have to pay. It's free to you. But it costs a lot. It costs the lifeblood of Jesus Christ. That's what it costs. I want us to look at some pictures in the Old Testament and in the New Testament of our heavenly wardrobe. Would you like to see what those pictures are? Okay. So let's look in the Old Testament, beginning with Isaiah 61:10. The prophet says, "I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for He has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit and a bride with her jewels. So if you can picture, we don't have any pictures of heavenly garments except what is shown here. I wish we did. Some of you probably have been to elaborate weddings where the bride is just all decked out and the groom is all decked out in their finest apparel. And they are beautiful to behold. And Isaiah says, when the Lord clothed me with salvation and robe of righteousness, it was like the clothes that a bride and groom would wear, decked out in their finest apparel, decked out in their finest jewelry. Another picture. It's found in Zechariah chapter 3, 1 through 5. And this is an interesting passage of Scripture because it's as if we find out that Satan is actually wrestling over the soul of this individual. Then the angel showed me Jeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Jeshua. You know, sometimes I think I hear Satan making accusations against me. He's making accusations against Jeshua. But the Lord is standing there, and the angel of the Lord is standing there. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusations. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem or has chosen you rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. Jeshua's clothing was filthy as he stood there before the angel. So the angel said to the other standing there, take off his filthy clothes. And turning to Jeshua, he said, see, I have taken away your sins, and now I am giving you these fine new clothes. And then I said, they should also put a clean turban on his head, give him a new hat. So he put a clean priestly turban on his head and dressed him in new clothes while the angel of the Lord stood by. Isn't that beautiful? And so this is a picture of Jeshua's salvation. He came to a place where he puts his trust in the Lord. He came to a place where he repented of his sins and the Lord took away his sins. And then he dressed him in a garment of salvation. It gave him a robe of righteousness. A couple of New Testament pictures. Romans 13:12. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Another picture in Ephesians 4. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So you have an old nature that we're to shed. We have a new nature that we're to put on. Wouldn't it be wonderful when we came to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that the old nature was gone entirely and we never had to mess with it again? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But that's not the way it is. I find that sometimes my robe of righteousness falls off. Fell off a few times this week. Put it back on. And wouldn't it be nice, and Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the armor of God. That's some attire that you can have. But I find that sometimes my armor slips off. And I have to cinch up my girdle of truth again. Put on my breastplate of righteousness. Because it slips off. Do you have a problem keeping your armor on? Me too. I don't always keep it on. It slips off. When I was in Mississippi, started driving at about the age of 15, and I would go up to Frank's store. And Frank, older gentleman, for some reason, but in the mornings, his pants were up normal. By the evening, his pants had been sliding about halfway down his hip. I think he started that look. But rather than pulling his pants up, he would just bend down and roll the cuffs of his pants up. So by the end of the day, he had like three or four cufflinks in his pants. His pants kept sliding up. I find that my armor often slides off. So here's the deal. In order to embrace your new identity, you have to put on your new wardrobe. You can't wear the same stuff you used to wear. Does that make sense? But sometimes, but here's the deal. It's hard to put on your robe of righteousness when you're filthy with sin. Told you previously that when I moved here, I had been working in a hospital as a maintenance guy. My work clothes were white painter's outfit. White pants, white shirt, white tennis shoes, white hat, everything white until I got paint on them. Everything white. I moved out here, and the first job I got as I was pastoring this church, the church wasn't large enough to support me financially, so I had to work on the side. So I got a job with one of the gutter installers here in town. And so my work clothes were what I brought from Mississippi, Louisiana. Must have been the first or second day on the job, we went out to the Shaloni's barn to put up gutters. You don't remember, you didn't know that. So you're learning something about me today. So in their barn was a little green river. That ran through the barn. And I thought, got my white tennis shoes on, got my white pants on, got my white shirt on, got my white hat on, I'm going to jump this thing. I didn't make it. And when I jumped, I almost made it, but my feet went, and I went, bam! Cynthia remembers that day. I think she said, I'm not washing those clothes. They're going to be thrown away. But I had to wear that the rest of the day. Now, when I got home, I didn't say, well, just give me some new clothes and I'll just put them on over this. I didn't say that. What I said is, let me get in the bathtub, take all this stuff off, and bathe myself, put on new clothes. That's what I said. Because here's what happened. What would happen if I'd have just said, oh, let's just put some new other stuff over it? What would have happened? That had been green too. And pretty soon it had been, well, not pretty soon. It would have been smelling quickly. It would have been putrid. A lot of times we try to put on our robe of righteousness over our sinful heart. And it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. Now let me just say this. All of us stumble, don't we? All of us stumble. All of us sin. And I'm not making excuses. It's just as you're progressing in the Christian life, that's just part of it. Hopefully, I won't sin as much next week as I did this week. Okay? That's the projection. That's the hope. I'm sure of it. Because Christ is addressing issues in my heart that need to be dealt with. Okay? We all stumble. We all sin. Not making an excuse for that. Just saying that's life. As a Christian, we're not perfect. But there are times in life when sin kind of sticks to you. There are things that we face in life, and when we face those things, it's almost like our identity becomes that. Let's just say someone is abused as a kid. Oftentimes their identity becomes shame and guilt. And even after they become a Christian, they just walk around in that identity. That's part of their personality because they never are able to get rid of it. They're never able to put on that robe of righteousness the way the Lord intends us to put that robe of righteousness on because that sin, they're just stuck. Does that make sense? So if they could ever get that off them, then they could walk in righteousness. And too often, many times, we walk around as Christians pretending that we've got it all together, pretending that my robe of righteousness is intact, but everybody sees that it's slipping off. So, I want to ask you a question again. What are you wearing? What are you wearing? Because if it's not the robe of righteousness, then you're wearing something else. And the Lord wants you to put on His robe of righteousness. So, how do we put on the new? So, first thing is, you have to take off the old nature, the sinful behavior. You have to take off the stinky, putrid clothes of the old nature to put the new on. Once you do that, then you can put the new on. Now, let me just say this. It's not that you haven't been forgiven. When you came to the Lord in repentance, with a heart of repentance and a heart of faith, and trusting Him, you, like Jeshua the high priest, receive the garment of salvation. I don't think you can ever lose that. You've received the garment of salvation. That was given to you. You were also given the robe of righteousness. many times we don't know how to wear it. How do we put it on and keep it on? So I've got a few people who are going to help me demonstrate what that looks like. If you would this week, I don't know that I've... So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 real quickly. We're not going to look at the passage of Scripture per se, but just want you to know that probably this week it would be good if you go there. Because in that passage of Scripture, it talks about several things, whatever behavior you're in, once you get rid of it, what do you replace it with? Because it's not just good enough to get rid of the baggage. Then you have to replace that with something else. Okay? So if you're taking off the old sinful behavior, for instance, and we're going to address, where is guilt, shame? Okay. Come up here, please. So first thing you need to know is, what are you wearing? In order to take it off, you have to know what you have on. Okay? So, what do you have on?
Guilt and shame.
How long have you worn that? All your life. That's strange, isn't it? That she would wear that all her life. Could you tell me what caused you to put it on? Well, we need a... Can we have a microphone? Hey, here's one. Oh, okay, number 9. Yep, it's on. All right, so how long have you worn it?
All my life.
All right. So what caused you to put it on?
My mom got pregnant before she got married, and the Lord showed me that I carry her guilt and shame.
Okay. All right. So do you want to continue wearing that?
No.
Would you like to take it off?
Yes.
Okay. It's good to know. So it's good to know. It's important to know when it stuck. It's important to know when it stuck to you. Because once you know when it stuck to you, then you can... So you need to write this down. Confess, repent, and renounce. So what this lady is going to have to do is she's going to have to confess, repent, and renounce not only her wearing the guilt and shame, but also her mom bringing that up on her. Does that make sense? Okay? It's very important that we do that, because the mom gave opportunity for guilt and shame to stick to her, thereby causing that guilt and shame to come upon her child. Did you know that a child in the womb can feel the emotions that the mom feels? And oftentimes the problems children have are the result of the pain or the fear of whatever the mom carries in her heart while she's carrying that child. Okay? So, did you know that if a mom rejects her child in the womb, that the child feels that rejection throughout that child's life? Unless the Lord intervenes. unless the Lord intervenes. And this is what we're showing you today, how the Lord wants to intervene in these situations. Now, it's not that this person is not saved. It's not that she hasn't been clothed with the garment of salvation. It's just that throughout our life, things stick to us that keeps us from being able to walk in the identity that Christ has for us. Okay, I want to make this very clear and very plain, because you're going to have homework this week, because God's going to reveal to you some things that have been stuck to you that you and Him will need to have some communication about. Okay? How many of you like to be stuck? Nobody. So if you want to be free, then you're going to have to, number one, confess the sin, repent of the sin, and renounce or turn away or command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Okay? So you don't want to be stuck in guilt and shame anymore.
No.
Okay. So you're willing to take it off?
Yes.
All right. So I want you to pray. And I want you to forgive your mom. And I want you to confess the guilt and shame that you have. The guilt and shame that your mom has. You need me to help you with this? You got it?
Well, we've done it before.
Oh, okay.
Not this.
Okay. And then command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Okay? So go ahead.
Dear Lord, I pray that I give this to you. I don't want to carry it anymore. I give it to you. What was the rest? I did forget.
I forgive my mom.
I forgive my mom.
From my heart.
From my heart?
Yep.
Yep, for my heart.
And I confess.
I confess.
This sin.
This sin.
Personal and generational.
Personal and generational.
And I command the spirit.
I command the spirit.
Of guilt.
Of guilt.
And shame.
And shame.
Go to the feet of Jesus.
Go to the feet of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And so then, you get the robe of righteousness.
Oh, yay!
Okay? All right. Thank you. Okay, Sorrow, would you come up, please? How old are you, Sorrow? 13. And so, how long have you worn Sorrow? 6 years. Well, what caused you to put Sorrow on?
My grandpa died, and I was very close to him.
Okay. And so you miss him quite a bit, don't you?
Very.
Would you like to get rid of the sorrow?
Yes.
Okay. So let's release that to the Lord.
Okay.
So you have to confess it, repent of it, and release it. Do you need help with that?
No.
Okay, so why don't you do that?
I receive joy.
So we have to get it up, get rid of it first.
Yeah,
so ask the Lord to forgive you.
Can you forgive me?
For carrying sorrow.
For carrying sorrow. And help me get rid of it.
Okay. Okay. And so, what do you want to be clothed with, Lily? a robe of righteousness. So when you, and in that robe, and I would be specific in saying that let's just make joy part of that. Okay. So let's do the opposite of whatever was taken or removed from you. Let's do the opposite and put joy in its place. Okay? All right. Okay, now we have someone with a lot of anger and bitterness. So,
thank you.
What are you wearing?
Anger, bitterness, and rage.
And how long have you worn this?
28 years.
And could I ask you what caused you to put it on?
That weasel left with another woman.
So let me ask you a question. Do you want to wear that the rest of your life?
Not really. It's kind of heavy.
Okay. So are you willing to release that? Are you willing to take that off?
Yeah, it's getting kind of hot and heavy. Yeah, I'm ready to let go of it.
Okay. So here's what you have to do. You have to forgive not only your ex-husband, the weasel, but you have to forgive the person that he ran off with. And I know that's hard, because there's some deep wounds. And the Lord said, Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. That in order for him to heal you, you have to be able to release this.
Okay.
So do you want to do you want me to help you with that, or can you do that yourself?
I better do it myself.
Okay.
Lord, I come before you and I confess my anger and my bitterness and my rage. Lord, I pray that you'll remove this from me and replace it with joy and peace. Lord, I forgive my ex-husband because it takes two to tango. And Lord, I forgive the other woman because she didn't mean me any harm. I hand it all off to you, Lord. And I give you my angerness, my bitterness, and my rage.
Amen.
And Lord, I
praise the Lord.
And I take on that robe of righteousness.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. So do you understand? You've got to recognize what you're wearing that's keeping you from walking in righteousness. You've got to confess it as if it just happened to you. Let's say you're 68 years old and you were wounded when you were 8. You've got to go back there and you've got to address that issue. That's where it stuck to you. And that's where you're going to be able to become unstuck, become free, and put on the robe of righteousness. Okay? The Lord died for your freedom. Paul says, whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. You don't have to walk around stuck all your life. The Lord has made provision for you. The Lord wants you free. Now you can take your card. And we're going to look at the second question. I recognize that I have a sticky sin problem. My self-identity is tainted by mistakes, sins, and problems of my past. I now understand how to take off the old nature and put on my robe of righteousness. And the last one, I will put into practice what I learned today. Okay? Now let me I just kind of do a little bit more teaching. A lot of times when we see people, well, let's just say Christians. Say when we see Christians who are not walking in righteousness and they are manifesting something on the outside, we judge what's on the outside, but God knows the heart. And what I've learned is that often, probably, maybe I'm not, maybe all the time, but at least most often than not, people who are manifesting, making poor decisions on the outside, it's because of a problem that they haven't dealt with on the inside. This is just a manifestation. This is just what we see. We don't see what's in the heart. And oftentimes when you address those heart issues, the addiction or whatever else that has taken place goes away too. Okay? So, let's not judge anyone. If you have a gift of discerning things, then the Lord has given you a gift to pray for those things. Not to talk about them, but to pray about them. Because what God has given you is the ability to see some problem areas, and perhaps you're the only one who can address that with your prayers because you see it. Okay? We're going to have a time of invitation. Perhaps this morning you're here today and you've never put on the garment of salvation. You have never put your trust in Jesus Christ. You've never repented of your sins. And Jesus is standing here with open arms and He's saying, I want you in my kingdom. I want to give you clothes of salvation if you will turn from your sins, if you will receive Christ as your Savior, then He will put that on you immediately. Perhaps you're here today and you realize that you're stuck and you might need help with that. You can put on your card, I'm stuck and I need help. And we will help you. This church knows how to help. Okay? So, Father, we come before you today. And, Lord, we don't want to be stuck. We want to be free. And, Lord, perhaps today, as I was sharing and others coming up, perhaps you revealed some things.